Hello, welcome to Roots Runners Rising, Radical Health and Healing from the Underground. I'm Sarah Faulkner.
And I'm Lauren Jambrody.
So hey everybody, we have the folks who are Wild Gather in the studio with us today. You may remember we had Wild Gather on the show, I guess that was back earlier in the summer, spring? July? Yeah. So we're really delighted to have everyone here today to be talking about Wild Gather as a project, but also to do some Skillshare and share some stuff from a workshop they recently presented here in Hudson. Mm-hmm. What was that workshop called?
It was called Self-Care for Dark Days.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm going to turn it over to everyone to self-introduce and give a little intro to who they are and where they live and what they do. Lauren Jambro is here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren, Sarah's co-host on Roots Runners Rhizomes. I live here in Hudson. I'm a community herbalist and founder of Good Fight Herb Company, and now co-facilitator of Wild Gather Hudson Valley School of Herbal Studies.
Mandana.
Hi, I'm Mandana. I am an herbalist and a gardener and a parent. And a co-facilitator and educator, also coming from Wild Gather.
My name's Nicole Labou, and I am an herbalist and chef educator, and one of the co-facilitators of Wild Gather also.
So, do you folks want to talk a little bit about what Wild Gather is and what kinds of things you do collectively?
Sure.
So Wild Gather is a school that we started about a year ago in the wintertime, and it's a school that's based in herbalism and how we access that, and also sharing of earth skills, and a big component of our school is our health justice curriculum that we weave into the learning.
Yeah, some of the things that we focus on are foundations in herbal studies. So we started a Seeds of Herbalism program, which is a 40-hour foundational course. And some of the topics include, you want to help me out with that? Botany.
Yeah, and plant ID. We did some great plant identification walks, some herbal actions, thinking about the actions of plants and trying to identify some of those actions and what they feel like in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spent about 40 hours, one weekend a month, over the course of 4 months, mm-hmm, this summer. And so each weekend had a different focus. We, like Ryan mentioned, we had health justice, plant ID, herbal actions, and energetics. And
a lot of medicine making.
Yeah, we made a lot of things.
First aid, context.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we also spend some time talking about the spiritual aspects of herbalism and plant energetics.
Food as medicine.
Yeah.
And like Mandana was saying, earth skills, how we can also use these plant allies, not just for food and not just for medicine, but for other utilitarian uses as well. So it was a nice, like, well-rounded program. We had a great crew of students, and it was really amazing. And then we started Self-Care for Dark Days as one of our first winter workshops, which will be putting out a calendar of future winter workshops in the very near future. Right, y'all? Am I missing anything?
I think that's good, yeah.
Do you have an upcoming event or workshop you want to just promo right now? Do you have something on the calendar that you know of, or is that going to be published soon?
Well, yeah, we have a bunch of classes that are going to be starting up come February, and we'll have those coming out to y'all soon, very soon.
Awesome. And if folks want to get in contact, do you have a website, Facebook page? What's the deal?
Yeah, we have a website. It's wildgather.com.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. So you want to get into the material and wisdom of Self-Care for Dark Days?
Yeah. I think just to start, when we came together and we were talking about just what we were thinking about, what was going on for us all. You know, we were just sort of laughing and joking, but we were all just like, dang, like life is really hard right now. And we're coming into winter and the political climate is really challenging and we're all feeling it. And so we just kind of got really real together and just said, like, what can we like share that feels authentic to where we're at and isn't this sort of like, you know, self-care, more grounded? Like, what really, what can we access? What's the self-care that we can all come together and gather and learn together? So that was like a, I think, an important foundation of like building this workshop together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and really important for us to just acknowledge what's happening politically in the world and how that was impacting us. And it just seems like there's a lot of classes sometimes that are focused on winter wellness and how do we take care of ourselves during the winter and what are the herbs that work. But we were kind of wanting to just kind of share an experience together and have a group of people get together and also talk about those feelings and bring that into the space as well.
Right. One of the main things that we talked about, the three of us in a group in preparing for this class, was the, I think Nicole had pointed out, there's these dueling energies that we're feeling with winter coming on and the days getting much shorter and the nights getting much longer and the darkness being much longer and it being cold. And typically the kind of energy of the winter season is to hibernate. The plants are hibernating for the winter, the animals are hibernating, and us as humans tend to get slower and more lethargic, a little quieter. We eat different foods, we need more sleep typically. However, the political climate is really firing people up. And I think folks, a lot of folks have been feeling like they want to take action. They want to do something. They want to feel like they are no longer asleep. There's so much work to get done in the world. So it's kind of like, while perhaps our bodies and our minds are wanting to turn inward, there's a lot of action people are feeling like they need to take. And so we wanted to come together and have this kind of collective self-care exploration as part of our workshop, because we wanted to make sure people had a space to understand it's still really important to take care of ourselves, even though there's still so much work to get done in order to feel a little safer in this political climate. So
awesome. Yeah, and as listeners may remember, our last show was about people doing healing and support work at Standing Rock in the middle of this wintry season. And it's, again, that's another model of sort of literally there, the sacred fire is being tended carefully. So there's a real balance between action, outdoor action, but also making safe spaces and time for prayer and intentionality and care of each other and selves. So it's kind of interesting. This theme is continuing on the show too. So.
Right.
So what kinds of things were coming up for you guys? And then how did that play out through the workshop too with the people attending? Were you seeing themes that people were struggling with, specific themes, things people were struggling with that they wanted to take care of, or things coming up for people? How was that?
Yeah, we started with some questions to kind of get the room generating some things that were coming up for people. And one of the things that, just to, on the other side of this desire to take action, is this, people were talking a lot about overwhelm and shutdown and not having energy, having like more lethargic energy, and feeling the psychological impacts and pain around that too. That was one thing that I was picking up.
Yeah, it was really such a nice, we did a group popcorn and there was such a nice vary of feelings. You know, there was everything from, you know, just feeling like for me personally, I'll speak for myself, is just like the insomnia is coming out, you know. It's like I have a lot of energy still running through my body and my body hasn't quite shut down yet for the winter, and I'm having sort of like, you know, not really wanting to shut down this year. And that was sort of like a challenge, because I go into winter really wanting to like take time to nourish myself because I work so hard in the growing season. But this year has been really challenging for me. So things that are coming up are insomnia, you know, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's anger. But then, you know, on the other side of that, there's a lot of joy, a lot of love, like being in that room. And there was a lot of folks there. There were about like 35 folks there. It felt so wonderful to know that so many people were showing up for themselves and for the community. And so that felt really, really special.
Awesome.
One thing that came up that I thought was interesting, and this might segue into a little bit of a political context of how we as Wild Gather see herbalism, and many other people see herbalism, but there was one word that came up for a lot of people was guilt. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really unpack it. We just, like Mondona was saying, it was a popcorn, and this guilt came up, which kind of, if you guys want to get into this, it reminds me of the conversation we both had in class and that we have with one another around what self-care is, even within the context of like wellness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and before we talk about guilt and wellness, uh-huh. could you also just unpack for our listeners what a popcorn is
this
context?
Mm-hmm. So group popcorn was where we had all settled in as a group together, did some introductions and kind of set the container. And then we asked the group what's coming up for them right now.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I think in terms of self-care, you know, as Wild Gather, I think we can all say that self-care has been a big part of our lives for probably 10, 15 years plus. But it's a term that's starting to have more like reverence in the just regular pop culture of the world. So we're seeing it more and more, and it's starting to sort of be capitalized. And so self-care, you know, you can read wellness magazines or go online and you'll see it everywhere. And it's changing form. Self-care can mean a lot of different things, but what we're seeing now is, you know, $60 bottles of oil or, you know, yoni steams. And I think all these things, you know, they're great. You know, I'm not judging the idea, but I think what's important is self-care is supposed to be something that's accessible. It's supposed to be something that is easy to incorporate in your life. And when it's so far taken from the roots of it, it can feel like, wow, I don't think I can access this. Like, hey, I can't afford, you know, to have 5 massages a month, or hey, I can't afford that $60 bottle of calendula oil. And I think it's important that we honor, you know, I think Wild Gather, we identify as being anti-capitalists. And I think we all have different meanings of what that means for us. And I think for us, the most important thing is sharing a self-care model that can actually be approachable. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of what we talked about in the class around self-care. And in terms of what that means to you. Self-care, if you have Netflix and you can sit in bed all day and like just totally chow down on a TV show and like not having guilt about it, if that's like the self-care you can afford because your mama has it and she's like, you can log on, girl. Like that's self-care, you know? So we were just sort of like unpacking a lot of that in class.
Yeah, and also talking about that guilt and how somehow this idea of self-care that's out in the world right now can almost be another engine that's kind of driving, more guilt
right.
inside of us and pushing us farther away from self-care rather
right.
than towards it. And that, you know, that accessibility being a major piece that, yes, we want to make sure that those are plants, those are oils, those are things that we can afford, we can access. But then there's also this idea that are we like lashing ourselves and beating
right.
ourselves up to be like, oh, I really should be doing yoga. I really should, you know, and these shoulds and like, you know, just examining that, you know, we all have our shoulds and we have our, amount of guilt that we all carry. But mm-hmm. it's interesting to kind of think about that and think about how much is that driven by an industry and what we're taking in constantly from the media or, you know, even in our own little worlds when we're looking at social media, it's like, oh, I should be doing that. Even if it's the most wonderful, you know, politically activating thing, it can mm-hmm. it can really drive us.
Yeah.
To me, one thing I've noticed is that something that capitalism and consumerism does is it, in order to create more products and more needs and more profit, mm-hmm. it atomizes things that were once integrated and natural and separates mm-hmm. them into more products, whether it's like
yes.
taking
mm-hmm.
the wheat and removing the bran and then selling you both white bread and then bran as a supplement
right.
to self-care sort of becomes this new separate product out of something that otherwise, you know, it's like the difference between eating and being on a diet or a particular diet or taking supplements. And, you know, how do we, it sort of explodes these things that could feel full of ease, could feel natural or intuitive to us, could just be arising in our lives, you know, without effort, but instead makes it this thing we have to think about, and then we feel guilty if we didn't do it right, or like someone else is telling us how to do it,
someone
or we have to buy something to do it right.
Right. And I think it's really important for us. One of the reasons why we wanted to host this class is to just be very honest and transparent around that, because, you know, even though, well, speaking for myself, even though I'm a medicine maker and I offer medicine to the community, it's not like I'm the perfect image of health and self-care either. I had a very hard season where I non-intentionally like kind of avoided a lot of my own healthcare or self-care, just because I was stuck in the cycle of work. And it was very hard for me sometimes to like stay on top of eating proper meals and having my laundry done and getting my bed made and checking in with myself and my friends, and sometimes, you know, working hard and getting things done and being really productive feels really good and is also a form of self-care. But there's this balance that's very hard to manage sometimes in a capitalist society where you're expected to just keep churning, and people are needing you and people want things from you, and you have to pay rent and you have to pay your utility bills. And then we get into this whole like world of wellness where it's like, oh, but you deserve this. Mm-hmm. And that's, that whole idea is really discomforting and really alienating to me, because like Nicole was saying, then there's all this shame around like, oh, I'm not taking care of myself. And like you are saying, Sarah, it's like this used to be all integrated. It never used to be these separate parts, but capitalism isolates us from our own bodies and our own spirits and our own selves to be pieces of modes of production.
And to just add to that, when you're reading, you know, these like blogs or these advertisements that are saying, you know, like wake up in the morning and do 2 hours of yoga and then segue into a luscious, you know, turmeric, warm golden milk. And, you know, I'm a parent and it's really overwhelming. It's just like there's no accountability for the fact that a lot of folks in America don't have that luxury. You know, a lot of us have to wake up before the sun's even out to get ready to go to work, or, you know, take care of our children or take care of our loved ones and family members. And so it's really isolating to hear this sort of like message of this is what self-care is, because it really isn't for most people in this country. And so we need to be thinking of, okay, what are some plants and herbs that are probably already in your pantry and kitchen? What are some plants that you can buy at the grocery store, and just any grocery store, not just a co-op or a health food store? I'm talking like ShopRite. And like, or what are some things where you walk outside your door and the tree is already growing right there? Those are the important messages that we're trying to share, because it has to be in a way that, you know, people feel like they can actually approach this and feel like it's for them and not like it's never going to be for them.
Yeah, definitely.
I like this concept that you brought up of atomizing, because it's something that also shows up a lot in herbal medicine, with thinking about how we talk about plants. Like, this is the constituent that makes it so that you're, you know, with like, for instance, thyme, you know, thymol is the volatile oil that kind of gets into your respiratory system and helps promote healing. While I love those facts and like makes me really happy, I think we have to be careful not to just completely always dissect things in that way, because these things do work holistically and synergistically, and can work synergistically with food and, you know, and just taking them in is more the important aspect of that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of hubris in the patriarchy, right? So the kind of Western medical tradition, you know, has identified thymol, and they think, wow, that's what's important about thyme.
Right.
And, you know, that's reflected in so much of this atomization of capitalization too, like the creation of value, but then not seeing the value that no one has noticed yet, you know?
Right.
So how'd the workshop progress then? You guys had a popcorn, and then what?
I think I just want to say this, and I hope this is okay, but we have classroom values, and a part of our values is keeping a lot of the class to the intimate parts of the class in the class, and then yes. spreading the things that we want to share and with our community. So I think it's important to honor a lot of the intimate parts of the class yeah. that came out, but we did segue into practical applications of herbs in the winter, and we did another popcorn where we just sort of asked folks like what was coming up for them physically in their bodies. And I think it was, you know, it came down to pretty much the typical, not the typical, but the things that come up a lot. So we were talking a lot about colds and flus and coughs and sore throats, but then also the more like energetic, the winter blues, the tiredness, the fatigue. Mm-hmm. Do you want to add to that?
Yeah, just digestion mm-hmm. and anxiety.
And like feelings of depression, but not depression as a clinical diagnosis per mm-hmm. se, but more like things feel depressed, like mm-hmm. fatigued and slower and sluggish. Mm-hmm. That came up a lot. And we can go into some of the herbs if y'all like.
Yeah. Yeah, what kinds of things would white people be able to access easily to alleviate some of this discomfort that comes mm-hmm. up?
Do you want to talk about pine?
Yeah, everyone knows how much I love pine. pine is such an incredible plant medicine and plant ally. We're speaking about white pine, Pinus jobus, that grows abundantly in our area. The reason why I love pine is I can walk outside of my door and pine is there. And I live in Woodstock, so it's a little bit more mountainous and there's a lot more trees. But even here in Hudson, I always see white pine when I'm walking around or going into Cold House for a meeting. So it's really accessible in that way. And it's a conifer, so it holds on to its needles where the maples and the oaks and all the other trees have lost their leaves. The pine medicine is really accessible during the winter. You can still go out and harvest the needles or the bark or pine pitch, the resin of the tree. And we were speaking specifically about pine for cold and flus and viruses in general, coughs. Specifically, pine has a lot of different herbal wonders. It's astringent, which means that it's constricting to the mucous membrane, which is really important when someone has a cough or a sore throat.
So that means, like, when people have mucus in their membranes, what kinds of actions how does it feel, I guess?
So have you ever had, like, a pomegranate? They're seasonal right now. You know the white pith of a pomegranate? When you chew that, there's something that happens in your tongue and it just sort of like dries everything out in the tongue. That constricting feeling is astringent. So when that feeling is, when you're drinking a pine tea or you're having pine vinegar or you're having, you know, a pine chest rub on your chest, what it's doing is it's drying up the mucous membrane. So it's making it so that, yeah, like you're going to, if you have a runny nose, it's going to help dry out that mucus. But pine is also an expectorant, and what an expectorant is, it's going to be pulling and drawing out that mucus. So if you do have a nasty cough and there is a lot of mucus, just, you know, doing a pine steam or having a pine cordial or having pine tea can help pull out that mucus when you have a productive cough.
Mm-hmm. And when you say pine steam, that's preparing some pine in water and making it warm enough that then you can inhale.
Right.
Kind of like a mini sauna.
Yeah. So that's one way you can do it. You can put a pot over your wood stove or on your range. And once the steam really starts to come up, you put a towel over it and inhale that. And then you can also, I like to do it in the shower as well. Like, well, I'll take pine or eucalyptus and put them on the bottom of my shower and get it really, really hot and steamy. And then go into that shower and just inhale that that Viatel steam.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right, because I was just thinking, like, you know, one of the reasons why it's really good to kind of dry up that excess mucus that's just kind of sitting around your throat and your nose. That's a good incubator for bacterial and viral infections. Mm-hmm. So just to clarify, like, one of the important reasons of, like, when you've got that going on, you know, you want to, like, blow your nose a lot, like, get all that mucus out, use that pine astringency to kind of dry it up so that no infection can settle there and create more issue. And pine needle tea is really nice. It's very, very high in vitamin C as well. So vitamin C is a kind of classic one to help with a cold as well.
And now I'm thinking about ginger, which is warming and stimulating. And so when you have a lot of stagnancy and these boggy tissues, it's also nice in combination or separately. Ginger is another plant that's accessible to us. The rhizome, the root, is available, like, these days in most grocery stores. And the fresh juice or the dried powder, or in many forms, it's warming and stimulating and diffusive. And so it's also good for getting rid of stuck mucus and getting things flowing.
Right. Yeah, and if you think about, like, cold hands and cold feet, that comes up so much for folks come the winter. Mm-hmm. And ginger and cardamom, these warming herbs are really wonderful to sort of get blood moving, improve the circulation, which I know for myself, I just sort of slow down a lot more in the winter. And so that kind of stuff comes up for me a lot more.
Right, cinnamon too. If you have cinnamon powder or cinnamon stick at home, you can just throw a cinnamon stick, a slice of ginger, and some pine needles in a jar or in your mug, and let that steep, and that'll definitely help, like Nicole was saying, warming, stimulating, but also good to get the circulatory, the blood flow continue to go. You could also throw those things in your bathtub for a nice hot bath.
Yeah, and also just saying that pine is also warming and stimulating, and it's free most of the time. So if you are, like, low on funds and you don't maybe have the money to go and get some of the things we're talking about, pine is also really warming and stimulating.
And maybe for folks who don't have a lot of experience identifying plants in the wild, can you give us some tips on Pinus strobus? Are there any things people could confuse it with, or is it's pretty easy to ID, right?
It is pretty easy to ID, and there's also a nice thing about a lot of conifers, or you can use a lot of conifers. So let's say you by accident, you think that you're identifying white pine, but then it's actually a spruce. You can also use spruce in really similar ways. So I know, like, personally, white pine, when it's young, it tends to have more of a smooth bark and has horizontal lenticels. And as it gets older, it gets more of that scaly sort of, like, wild cherry-like bark, where it's, what's another way to describe that? Sort of like
pitted almost?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the bark gets like when it's older. And it has whorled branchings, which means instead of it being two opposite branches or two alternate branches, it's sort of like a circular branching.
Around the trunk.
Around the trunk of the tree. So that's another key identifying aspect of pine. And then pine also has needles. So they're going to be long needles opposed to short ones like that of a spruce.
Almost like hairy needles as opposed to, like, and spruce, like Christmas, what we might think of as a Christmas tree.
Right. Needles. Like the short needles of a Douglas fir over a spruce.
One cool ID thing about white pine, is if you pluck a cluster of needles off, there'll be five. And W-H-I-T-E is five letters, so five needles, white pine. Nice. And I just want to quickly say you're listening to Roots Runners Rhizomes with Sarah Faulkner and Lauren Jambroni. And today we are interviewing the folks of Wild Gather, Hudson Valley School of Herbal Studies. We're talking a little bit about self-care and plants that are growing around us to take care of ourselves this winter.
We were also just talking about cinnamon a moment ago, and we're talking about kind of moving mucus. And cinnamon is also great because it, when steeped, like Lauren was saying, putting those herbs in your jar and letting them sit, or cooking with cinnamon. If you've ever done put too much cinnamon in, like in something you're cooking before, you might notice that it gets very sticky. And so cinnamon produces this mucilaginous kind of quality, And so this is also needed really in the winter, I find. For myself, I get really dry. Mm. And instead of having a lot of mucus-producing things, I tend towards dryness or the cough that is unproductive or just internally can, you know, be experiencing more dehydration. So with that warming quality, there's also this action of moistening. And that's nice to think about, too, in terms of identifying what's happening for you personally.
Yeah.
I was going to say, and just to kind of talk about it in a broader energetic sense, if you think about ourselves and within our environment. So if you think about water outside of our bodies right now, it's ice. So it's kind of like hard and compact. Mm-hmm. It's not flowing. And that's why we feel the same way in our bodies. So that's why we're talking about warming and moistening. Think about when ice melts, what happens, right?
And a lot of us have, depending on heat sources, there's like a lot of forced air heat here in the apartments in Hudson, or even if you have a wood stove, that heat can be very, very drying. And like Nicole said, like her body type is tends towards dryness in the winter. Other folks tend towards kind of more boggy and wet. But a lot of times, when you're dry from the inside out, whether that's just because how you roll or your heat source, the body sometimes overcompensates and then will start overproducing mucus to balance you out. So it is really great to have like internal moistening agents, not just like external, lotion or coconut oil. It's internal. We have to eat them as well. So it's a good point you brought up. Should we talk about garlic? Also super accessible. Do you guys want to?
Yeah, well, garlic's wonderful. It's going to be another warming and stimulating plant ally. It's antiviral, which is great when you have a cold or a flu or a virus. And it can be used in food ways, which is really nice. I have a young one, so when they're sick, you want to be sort of incorporating the medicine in a way that feels good for them. So garlic's one of those things that you can throw into a miso soup, or it's a main ingredient in fire cider. So garlic's a nice one to have right when you're starting to feel a little funny and you're like, you know, I think I'm coming down with something. I'm starting to feel like a little extra tired, or I'm feeling just not myself. Garlic's sort of that one. And, you know, and I should also say, if you feel like you don't have the space to have a cold, because sometimes it's nice to just let the cold take you over and you have those couple days in bed. But let's say you have a busy work week coming up, or, you know, you have a kid and you really can't take that time. Garlic's sort of one of those, like, you know, like Lauren's car wouldn't start this morning and she had to use a battery to charge it. Yeah. So garlic's kind of like the jumper. You know, it jump starts you and like gets things moving out of your system really quickly. And can also be quite affordable and found at every single grocery store has garlic.
Everywhere.
And it's very hot. When I think about garlic, it has so much heat. And, I mean, you can just slice it very thin and put it to your tongue and feel a burn. Or on the outside of your mouth, you can get a burn from garlic. My grandmother used to slice it really thin and put it between slices of apples and just, like, eat it that way. And I've done that with my son. But one thing about garlic is we talk about this action of being antiviral. But also for folks who do suffer from any kind of virus that's related to the herpes virus, that's something that usually comes up and has a lot of heat associated with it. So that virus, when you are experiencing, when you genital herpes or herpes on the face, when you have those, it's nice to kind of back away from the hotter herbs. So garlic is one that if there is herpes, I try to stay away from myself.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Also, I don't know if anyone else like me leaves the house without a hat and then gets sore ears from cold wind blowing in their ears. Mm-hmm. And I find cutting a clove of garlic in half and putting each half in my ears solves that.
Oh, nice.
Totally.
Yeah. Nice.
And also making an oil, infused oil with garlic and rubbing that there. As a kid, my mom would always put like cut an onion in half and warm it and then put it on my ear when I had an ear infection. And it's those little simple things that really work. You know, as a kid, we use garlic and honey and milk, and that would be something that my mom would give me if I was coming down with something. And it was so effective, and it's like this really strange taste, but it's like those memories, and it just brings you back to, I don't know, for me personally, it brings me back to this like special place of being sick and like being taken care of in that way.
And that reminds me too, you know, one thing I say a lot to folks, and I try to say this to myself too, is that when we do feel something coming on or we do get sick, it is very hard to take time off of work, to rest, to not only lay down and get the rest, but have our mind mentally rest from the any kind of anxiety we might feel about having to take a break from work or having to lay in bed all day and rest or for 3 days. But I just want to say that, you know, for all of us, well, for those of us like me who identify as overworkers, it's the body needs you to stop in order for it to do its work to heal. So it actually is very important to lay down. And sometimes too, you know, taking a really hot bath, or you don't have a hot bath, taking a hot shower and letting the water kind of pound on your back and pound on your chest, that's doing a lot of good work for your body too, to get your lymph system moving, to get anything that's kind of stuck flowing. Drink a lot of water. We want to keep things moving internally. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We want to fill in the gaps there.
And I think you bring up an important point that sometimes we just feel like we really can't stop. And, you know, that's a really, like, important feeling to sort of, like, honor. You know, sometimes we really, really can't stop. And when we do, or when we are forced to stop, like, we literally can't get out of bed. Even though we might feel like total crap, our minds are still going like, oh my God, like I have to pay rent, or it's Christmas time and I have to be at work. I got to like make money so I can get my daughter a gift. All those feelings are really like, those are real feelings. And so sometimes you need sort of those herbs to sort of like support you in the like anxiety and feeling of like, I can't be sick right now. And so like when we're talking about sort of those sort of herbs, you know, we think about things like rose that are really calming to our heart, or sometimes we need something a little stronger, you know, like a passion flower, or a skullcap, or maybe we need to be taking something every day because it's really like, it needs to, we really need to nourish ourselves. So something like milky oats that we can be taking every day and incorporating for those sort of like, you know, the nervous system exhaustion and burnout and anxiety that comes up a lot in the winter when we're not feeling well, but we have to like feel like we're still showing up.
I think lemon balm is a good one there too, because lemon balm is a great antiviral. So both for, like Nicole was saying before, both for herpes virus, but also for viral infections in general, lemon balm is a good one for that. But energetically, it's also a nervine, meaning it relaxes the nervous system. And its particular energy is very sunny and bright and light. So we think about like the dark days of winter, lemon balm is this like cute little sunshine. So when you take that internally as like a tea or a tincture, it'll both help, you know, keep the body strong and fighting against a cold, and then keep the spirit a little more upbeat and a little more shiny. And lemon balm grows very prolifically around here. You can, you know, get it from your local farmers market or herbalist, or there's some, you know, tea shops in town that carry it. It's not too hard to find around.
Yeah, it's a mint family plant. So,
right.
You know, talking about, you know, just thinking ahead, maybe the next year, a $2 packet of the seeds, and it can be right near cracks of your sidewalk or your backyard or whatever space that you have. And, you know, it's pretty accessible,
It's
around.
Yeah, the brightening herbs are so important come in the winter, because just even smelling that tea, or like, you know, yesterday I was steeping some pine because I was going to weave baskets, and like when that aroma comes out, it just brings like energy to me. It makes me feel bright. And just the smells, I think, are so important too, like come winter. So maybe we're not just taking herbs. Maybe we're also burning herbs, or lighting candles, or rubbing some sort of aromatic oil on our bodies, or even if it's just smelling the tea. Those moments are really important come the winter. They are self-care moments, even if it's 10 seconds of just like, This smells so good. Even if it's coffee, you know, just smelling that coffee come morning, you're like, dang. Yes.
Yeah, I think the pharmaceutical industry has really encouraged us to think of self-care in ways that we ingest internally, for obvious reasons. But that's kind of branched out even into a lot of popular herbal medicine and self-care strategies. People think, you know, this is something I have to take or eat. But we can interact with our environment and substances and people and sentient beings in so many ways, right? And, you know, in some medicine systems, Ayurveda, Chinese medicine, and Tibetan systems, we really look at physical environment as much as we do as a specific herb. You know, you might get a prescription. Oh, you know, you have a wind imbalance, so maybe spend more time in cozy, dark rooms rather than in big public spaces that are very busy. These kinds of things are also really, you know, our medicine.
Yeah, and I think when we reference, just kind of going back to the capitalism sort of intersecting with herbalism, there's sort of this like Western model that's happening in herbalism where it's, I have this problem and can I have my prescription? And herbs don't really work in that way. You know, they're sort of mystical and they want a little love too. And so you can receive that same plant medicine from pine that you would get from a syrup or a tea by just walking in a pine forest. And I know that can sound really sort of like vague or what do you mean? But truly, just walking in a pine forest and smelling the pine and just being with the pine can bring so much of that same healing that you get from receiving it internally.
I'd also, something I've noticed over the years is it's been normalized for a lot of folks to not like certain seasons at all. You know, it's cold out. Oh, it's terrible weather, blah, blah, blah. Another thing I find very healing, just thinking of you talking about walking through pine forests, is... say you're not feeling good in the winter and you're feeling like sort of a general anger, discomfort. Oh, it's winter. What a drag. I hear people say this, how many more months of this, you know?
Right.
How about thinking about finding a place you do find beautiful and dressing so that you're comfortable, like put on 3 sweaters and a down coat and, you know, waterproof shoes so that you feel good. And then, you know, go outside and see how that feels and maybe make a little friendship with this this environment instead of reifying this notion that, you know, I mean, we're such a militarized society too, and people talk about, you know, the war on weather because
totally war on
everything.
Watch a
weather report, you know, Mother Nature's angry and you know, and I think that's a real important thing for people in the wintertime too, is to kind of heal some of that. And this is our friend. Yeah. It's different. It may not be your favorite season, but it's here, and let's enjoy what there is to enjoy about it.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Sledding is awesome too.
Yeah. And it's also like me winter where you're at. So there's some winters where I'm just super down. Like there, like last winter, I walked every single day. This winter, I'm not really feeling that. So I've been like in bed a lot. And so what I do is like I make like a little, this is embarrassing, but like pretty much everything I can access with my hands, you know. So there's some Palo Santo, there's some love oil, there's all these things that I need in that moment that I can just grab and like give to myself, because this winter I'm feeling a little bit more soft and a little bit more gentle, and so the winter energy outside my door is not really welcoming. So I think it's like, where are you at and where can you meet winter and what feels good?
Right. Instead of driving ourselves or policing ourselves and saying, okay, we have to get out there, you know, where are we really? I love that. I love both of these points a lot. And it's just thinking about, okay, what do we need to kind of meet the opposing energy? And then also what is real for us and how do we, you know, acknowledge that, accept that, and actually do the things that we really need.
Right. Yeah. I've been listening to Rihanna in the bathtub.
24/7. Riri, if you're hearing this right now, we love you so much and we really want you to be a part of the Wild Gather crew.
I would also put a plug out there too for folks to really listen to how they are in their environment season after season, and maybe after some time. Because, you know, I've certainly lived in different environments in my life, and some were more harmonious and ease-filled for me, and others were more of a struggle. And that's a real thing, too, you know. And plants and animals and human animals migrate all the time, and sometimes we're not in the right place for us. And I do know folks with... especially with like intense joint pain, find the winter a real struggle. And you know, that's real too. Yeah. And maybe that's something to, you know, we hear about elders often going to Florida or Arizona, you know, but there, you know, that the sometimes there's real wisdom in that, and that's what folks need too. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's in your means to travel sometimes as a healing, you know, I've certainly gone on pilgrimage for that reason. And, you know, sometimes that's a thing to think about too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Winter can be a really anxious time for folks when it comes to warming your home and warming your bodies. And I know for myself, like, my mother's an elder, and winter is just such a terrifying time for her to transition into, because, you know, you got to keep the house warm, but you're not working and you're sick, and you have to stay warm when your autoimmune system is already just, like, you know, I mean, your immune system is already on, like, it's compromised. So...
yeah, my mom it's has tough. Mobility issues, and when there's ice and snow, and, you know, that keeps a lot of people in their house or in their vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's for real, too.
Right.
Yeah, so sometimes it's special to just sort of, if you do have the time and you do have the energy, to sort of try to make your home, your inside home, really comfortable and cozy and everything you need in that moment, because sometimes you really can't face winter, and so you have to make sure that your inner home is good. And I think that's sort of one of the lessons of winter, is sort of like nourishing your soils. And there's a lot of water elements when it comes to winter, when you think of winter in the model of Chinese medicine. And so just like nourishing those roots, and the roots are, for a lot of us, are our homes. And so whatever it is, if it's like, you know, getting yourself a pack of incense or a nice candle, or
boiling water on the stove.
Yeah,
so that
with
there's
some
more moisture in the air.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a drop of essential oils if you have something.
Maybe some star anise,
yeah,
whatever
some,
you got.
Some cardamom. Yeah.
Also, you know, a lot of folks, because the expense of heating your home can be a real big thing too. And just to think a little further out of the box for folks, traditionally, a lot of times folks would seasonally inhabit certain parts of their home. You know, you've probably heard of summer kitchens too, like people cooking outside, and then winter kitchen to heat the house. And certainly I've lived in old houses, you know, beyond 200 years old, and traditionally you might just make a little den for yourself in the house for the coldest time of the year, and maybe not even go in that cold drafty room in the attic, shut it off, so you're not paying you know, fuel bills to
I'm feeling that right now.
I know, me too.
So hard. Another thing that I do sometimes in the winter, you know, this is a little bit of downtime for me in terms of how I work. My work is pretty seasonal. And so wintertime, even though for a lot of folks it feels really long, to me it feels quite short to kind of take stock of like what the year looked like and enact changes to make the next season a little better on myself. And it just feels like between the time I need to kind of rest and do a little visits with family and friends, and then prepare the whole, you know, do my taxes and then prepare for the next season, it sometimes feels like I don't have enough time. And I'll get very, very anxious and very overwhelmed. I don't know where to begin. I sometimes like can't even like get out of bed because I feel a little immobilized by like my own inner anxiety. And so what I'll do is, when I'm not feeling that, I often write down lists for myself, like, you know, in my clear good places, like I'll make a list of like, okay, what friends do I know I can reach out to when I feel anxious, overwhelmed, and like I have no one to turn to, and I'll hang that on the wall. And then I'll write a list of like, okay, what are like the very basic things to do for myself to make me feel like I'm in control and not like crippled by my own anxiety of there's not enough time and I don't know what to do and where is my life going. So I'll write a list like, make sure the kitchen's clean. Are my sheets clean? Is the laundry done? Have I eaten today? Am I drinking enough water? Have I taken some herbs? You know, I just kind of like set myself up with these like little lists to hang on the wall in case I have moments where it gets really dark. So I don't know, just saying
I use those kinds of strategies a lot too. And folks maybe living with what Western medicine might call ADHD or other kinds of neurological issues too, sometimes it's real easy to get off track
with
what you already have established feels good to you. So a notebook is awesome, or notes on your phone, or whatever works for you. But
saving that time, like re-navigating, and like, you know, there's times where I, for myself, feel like, oh, I know what to do. Or, you know, or when we get really sick, though, you know, like, we, even I have a hard time remembering what plants I need to take sometimes. Right. I'm like, what? I need soup. How could I ever get soup? You know, it's just far, right. far away. Yeah.
Right. At one point in my life, I was ready to get a tattoo that said, if you think the world is ending, just eat a snack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Often that just changes my entire worldview.
Right. It's true. Right? We need to eat more in the winter. We eat different foods in the winter.
Mm. Yeah. Denser, moist foods. My body's constitution wants wet food that's nutrient dense, a lot of broths.
Easy to digest.
Easy to digest grains that have been cooked for a really long time and a lot of moisture, fats. Lots of butter.
Mm-hmm. So much butter.
But then, so what comes up? Like sometimes there's a lot of digestion issues for folks, you know? Like right now, a lot of folks I know that have, that are female body, they're saying they're having like the most intense menstrual cycles that they can't remember. And it's like, oh yeah, well we're in fall and we're going into winter. We're moving around less. And we're eating a lot more high fat, so our liver's like a little like, woo. And it's presenting with like, you know, menstrual cramps and maybe like trouble digesting food, indigestion, maybe acne. Bowel movements or like acne are coming up. So that's like also just important to talk about sort of our warming bitters, you know. So maybe segueing from our bitter bitters that are bitters technically are traditionally cold. So things like dandelion and burdock are cooling to the body. And then we have this small little category of warming herbs. So those are herbs like ginger, the elecampane, mugwort, angelica. You got to think of any other ones? That's a good. But so it's nice to transition into those warming bitters come the winter because we need that sort of, we still need that, you know, bile being released and all that, the bitter energy, but we need the bitter warming energy. Mm-hmm. So orange peel, like those are all things that are really important. So going away from the dandelion and the burdock and motherwort and the, you know, boneset and those like really cold, bitter herbs and transitioning more to these warming bitters.
Mm-hmm. And just to get back to the notion we were talking about earlier that, you know, traditionally a lot of this wisdom is integrated. Think about a lot of so-called holiday treat foods, right? This time of year and contain a lot of these herbs we've been talking about, ginger, lemon, spice, citrus, cinnamon, nutmeg,
juniper,
orange peel,
That's the wonderful thing about herbalism is it's in all of our DNA, it's in all of our bones, and you look down your family line and there's some sort of food that was served to you that was not only delicious and healing, but it's like, is like rooted in herbs.
Yeah, it makes me think about also this idea of warming bitters and the stagnancy, just thinking about what are the lymphatics that can support us, the things that can support our lymphatic system. And you mentioned like the endocrine system and us having a harder time with things. So that's like, you know, that's also part of this like slowing down and stagnation. So we get stagnation in our endocrine system and our lymphatic system as well. And so just thinking about plants that can help move those kinds of metabolic wastes and things. And like we, you know, this is a maybe a lesser known plant, but things like spilanthes, in terms of thinking about how that warming, stimulating, and we have a lot of echinacea that people talk about a lot. And when we're getting sick, it's like echinacea, take some echinacea. But we also have a very accessible plant that grows easily here within a season and can be found from local herbalists as well, called spilanthes. And that one will kind of get your immune system going and then also help with this lymphatic metabolic waste removal too, just moving things.
And calendula is such a nice lymphatic because it's just bright like the sun. I like to call in those sort of sun-like herbs come this time of year because I can sort of sink into the darkness, which, you know, has its positives, but sometimes I sort of need that like brightening herb, and calendula is that. It's not only brightening to the senses, but it's also a lymphatic and it's also a demulcent, so it's really nice when you are like having maybe some trouble digesting come winter.
It's delicious sticky resin too, and it can be just dried flowers can be steeped in a tea, and it can be really strong, but it's you can really taste that medicine. You take it in a tincture and a tea, and
And calling in the energy of the sun is really the basis of a lot of the holidays that now, unfortunately, people often get stressed out about, but they were, for centuries, really a medicine, a community medicine for folks in the middle of the winter.
Yeah.
The solstice, hey, remember, the sun is going to be in our lives increasingly now. So lots of fire and presentations of the sun and people getting together and enjoying that. Maybe not stressing out about buying presents or traveling.
Yeah. In my culture, we celebrate solstice and Shabbat Yada, and we come together and we eat sweets. So it's like that earth element to like ground us. Mm-hmm. And we tell jokes and play games and read poetry of our great poets, Rumi, Hafez. And it's this jovial experience, and we're, the light warriors are bringing back in the light, and you have to stay up all night. And I've celebrated that holiday since I was a little girl. And that's what this time I think of, is the those moments, not the like, oh, go out and like get all the presents for everyone. More the like your community and friends come over and, sharing, laughing, eating sweets and bringing back the sun.
And I think for people who don't have maybe, say, a blood family that they feel very close to or connected to or even have access to, maybe they live far away or maybe you just don't get along and that's real, to remember who your chosen family is, who your friends are, who your mentors are, who are the people around you that you feel good, that you can consider family, if maybe your blood family isn't that kind of family for you, and to surround yourself with them. And one of the things that we talked about in class is to like just play around and create your own ceremony, create your own rituals. There's no, right or wrong way to do it. Just listen to yourself and give yourself that permission to explore and feel free with setting an intention, lighting a candle, making a date with someone that feels meaningful, to just like allow yourself to do that. I think is important too.
Yeah, I feel like even just marking the time on the year. So the solstice this year is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday, the 21st.
Yeah. So, for many years I would just light a candle on the solstices and just to remind yourself to be in touch with your body, with the cycle of the earth. That's a ritual in and of itself. That's, it's like looking at a clock and saying, maybe you're working at a job you don't like and you say, oh, only one more hour.
Right.
It's that kind of a feeling. Right. But that's very powerful too.
Solstice is so powerful because it comes in December when you feel like winter's just starting, but the light's coming back.
Yeah.
So the light will be back soon.
Yeah. It's true.
We're coming to the end of the show, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
We're fast.
I know.
Anyone have anything else they wanted to share just that we didn't get to?
Kind of. although sweets are really yummy and really delicious this time of year, and there's a lot around holiday, just want to like let folks know that if you are actively sick or feel like you're coming down with something, refined sugar, processed sugar can be a big immune buster. So just maybe navigate that when you're not feeling so well. I often tell folks that like at market or if they, come to me with a cold and I'm like, okay, well just, make sure you're not eating too much sugar. And everyone is usually like, wait, what? So I just wanted to give, for the refined and processed sugars, just
totally. But if there's that one cookie and you're like, dang, I need that.
Get it.
I
just wanted to also plug our website again. It's wildgather.com. You can find us. Our email is on there. It's wildgather@gmail.com. And very soon we'll be posting more workshops that we're going to be hosting this winter over at Porkshop TBD, which is at 745 Columbia Street. So we'll be putting that word out there. If you want to get on our email list, you can email us at wildgather.com.
Yeah, we'll have fun classes ranging from herbal wellness to basket making to health justice. So there'll be some fun little lights throughout the winter that we'll be offering.
Awesome. Thanks for being on the show, everybody.
Thank you, y'all.
Thank you. And Roots Runners Rhizomes airs once a month, every third Monday of the month from 2 to 3 p.m. And you can find us on Facebook.
The third or the fourth?
Oh, gosh, the fourth. My bad. No, say it again. Let's clarify. Thank you.
Awesome.
The fourth Monday of every month from 2 to 3 p.m. And you can catch our previous shows on our Facebook page, Roots, Runners, Rhizomes. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Happy solstice. Mm.